This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Good evening, White Sox fans. Today is December 17th. It is our typical Wednesday 8 p.m. start time. Welcome to the latest edition of Hot Takes and Heaters. I am Danny Miller. He is, I guess we should say, Taylorville's pride and joy. Taylorville, Illinois / Decatur radio host, Jacob Thome. How you doing tonight, Jake?
Hanging in there. We're hanging in there. We're doing well. We're doing well. No complaints.
Good. Except good. Glad to hear it. I believe you had a birthday yesterday, huh?
I did. Big old Michael Jordan, 23.
Hey, good for you, man. Happy birthday, brother. Good evening, Toss. Good to see you. Thanks for checking in. Man, you know, we had a big show last week, huh? A lot going on with the... you know, the draft, White Sox getting the number one overall pick, and then following probably about, 21, 22 hours later or so, the Rule 5 draft, actually, probably wasn't even that long, but the Rule 5 draft got underway and concluded. Sox picked up a couple of guys, and now here we are, man. I had a feeling that that was going to be the highlight of our offseason, at least for a little bit here, but we do have some cool stuff to talk about tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about what we think, or at least try to project what we think the rest of the offseason is going to look like for the White Sox tonight. We'll inject some of our own thoughts as far as where we think they need to go, where they can go, according to whatever type of budget we think is going to be put out there. Obviously, that number really hasn't even come into play yet. We haven't heard anything, so we do know that Getz and company has gotten that number from Jerry Reinsdorf. Just hasn't been made public yet, and I don't know if it will be or not. But I don't expect anything huge. So going down that train of thought, you know, Jake and I are going to put together a couple names that we think maybe will become White Sox here in the offseason, or at least, you know, what we think can be handled within a lower budget, because we're, you know, again, not expecting a lot. But before we get into all that stuff, I want to take a look at the announced staff today. The White Sox have finally put out the full staff and all the additions that were out there. So we'll start off with that. What's up, David Rocca, Wolf Larson? Thanks for checking in. We appreciate you guys. Always good to see you. We will get into some of those comments a little bit here. David Rocca says he loved the line that was posted. The Chicago White Sox lead the league in minor signings.
About right.
Did you expect anything less?
Not really.
We don't expect them to lead the league in any kind of major signings, do we?
No, not at all. Not at all. I mean, it's the nature of the game here that you're playing with being a White Sox fan.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, hopefully someday that narrative changes, sooner rather than later. But at the same time, man, I like the way the Sox are doing things. They're building things from within. Hopefully that with all this new staff and the new philosophy and developing guys within, we may not need to spend a ton of money in the future, and hopefully we can keep this thing going. But Man, it's gonna be a wild ride. We know right now that there's not going to be a whole lot of big free agent signings. So, what's up, Ian? S Dog, it's my boy, my homie, my friend and old partner checking in with us. Wolf, I agree. It is not a very strong free agent class, to be fair. I think we're going to be looking more at probably 27 after the lockout. Maybe we'll see some better movement. But right now, I think we're gonna play this the way we figure the White Sox are gonna play it. We're gonna throw some names out at you, but like I said, we're gonna start the show tonight with some of the staff additions and what we think that's gonna look like for the White Sox as well. So. Thanks, guys, for checking in. Boss, I see you say you want O'Hearn. We're going to get into that a little bit later. Uncle Ted says Danny Colombe. He's definitely going to be looking at some bullpen guys here down a little bit. Yeah, Ian says wanted O'Hearn, got Hearn. So
there it is. Quote of the offseason.
Let's get into that. So I'm going to bring up the list of guys that are new to the organization right now. And, you know, we'll go ahead and start out with Bobby Hearn. But Bobby Hearn was the he was added as the assistant pitching coach. We also got Jose Legere as the first base and outfielders coach. We got Chris D'Onofrio, who's got some ties to Will Venable further down the line. He's been brought on as the MLB field coordinator. Tony Medina has joined as an MLB assistant. And, you know, basically the rest of it is looking like it's going to be a lot of the same guys from last season. So what say you, sir, Mr. Jacob Thome, on the O'Hearn hiring? Have you had a chance to look into this at all?
No, I mean, I looked at it. Obviously when it was announced and kind of just went over it, but you know, the new hirings are new hirings. I think, you know, nothing groundbreaking there. You're bringing in a guy from the Twins organization. Exactly. It seems like guys who are on their way up, Hearn is a guy who I think is very smart. He's been proud of that way, kind of his old way up through the organization. I believe he'd spent some time with Davidson College as well. Shout out Steph Curry. I think a really smart individual being kind of plotted for that. And I thought it was interesting that they have now announced their bullpen catchers. Those guys were here last year, I think. But it's weird that they put them on the graphic. So I think that made people look and be like, you know, there's more staff. I don't know if that's necessarily true. But just kind of odd to this year include the bullpen catchers, which, hey, no hate there. But just thought it was an odd graphic choice.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I get it. You give these guys their credit where it's due. You don't really hear about those types of guys too often. So, you know, it's nice to see your name up in lights, I guess. But in reality, I'm pretty sure you're right. I don't think that those guys are due. I think they were here last year. But I think, you know, maybe it's just the White Sox way of righting a wrong by not actually putting their names out a whole lot last season. This way they get to see their name in the tweet and in the report. And, you know, it's just nice to be recognized. So good for them. I don't exactly know why that hadn't happened in the past, but, you know, right that wrong.
So Toss says that Markinson was just the starting catcher for Northwestern. So I actually didn't know if these guys had been with the team anyway. Nowhere on the website last year were the bullpen catchers listed. So I didn't know if these guys were coming back. I didn't know nothing. They also have three of them, which is kind of strange. I really didn't know anything
about I only saw two.
Either of them. So there's two of them. And then if you go on the website, there's a third. So I don't know if they added those two, but I have no idea. But yeah, I was doing some research and thought that it was odd that all of a sudden the bullpen catchers are being shouted out. Not complaining. I think, you know, let's give our flowers where they're due. But, just something interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is. But it's nice to know that this, you know, especially with Markinson, you say he was just the starting catcher for Northwestern, meaning that you know, you're definitely going to have somebody, even if it's just bullpen sessions and side sessions when these guys are, you know, having their daily workouts and they're not actually projected to pitch on that day. And it's nice to know that you're going to have somebody that's got a little bit of experience, especially if it's recent experience. Because, you know, there's a lot to be said about having trust in the guy you're throwing to, even if it's not your starting catcher, right? It's not the guy that you're going to be throwing to on the mound. Obviously, those guys are going to be the ones that you're going to probably do the most work with when it comes time to be ready for a game or an appearance, you know, somewhere in season. But, you know, outside of season, especially if you're, if you know, like a lot of these guys, it was reported last couple of weeks that they're spending a lot of time together in Nashville, which is, you know, obviously crazy to hear when we've been fed rumors that the White Sox may or may not move to Nashville. I can pretty much say that we can poo-poo those rumors. It's been said before that Nashville's mayor wants nothing to do with the White Sox and Jerry Reinsdorf. I don't know how true that is or not, but, you know, we all pretty much know how that goes. That's a that's just a ploy for Jerry to, you know, try to get his way with a stadium. And, you know, we did that once with Big Jim Edgar and the final hour back in the years before getting the new stadium here on right across the street from the original Comiskey. So go ahead, Jake. You were going to say something?
Yeah, well, I mean, the new announcement that they're building a stadium, the Pope's going to throw out the first pitch, kind of kills all those rumors that they're moving to Nashville, right? I would assume that the Pope isn't going to throw out the first pitch in Nashville. That'd be kind of odd.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's a Chicago guy.
Yeah.
It's been hyped up, probably overly hyped, you know, obviously. We talked about it last week, and now I'm kind of upset with myself because I feel like every time I open my mouth, something bad happens. But we talked about last week how, you know, I did at least anyway, that how it felt like, you know, back in 2005, we had a nice run from the Illini. We had the White Sox winning the World Series. We had a good Bears team that made an appearance in the Super Bowl in February of 2006. You know, the Blackhawks were kind of starting to rise slightly. I mean, they were actually still in their kind of bad days, but things were happening. You know, the Bulls were playing good with, you know, playoff appearances and things of that nature. And Chicago sports was just feeling pretty good. And as soon as I say that on last week's show, the Bulls have now lost like 8 of their last 9. The Blackhawks suck again. Connor Bedard gets hurt. You know, the night before I go to a game on Saturday, which, you know, yay. So I'm going to back off from all that stuff, but Nashville is not happening, Uncle Ted. Stop it. It's not happening. So
use up all of our luck on winning the lottery. That's the issue. The Pope directed everything to getting Rock, and now we're faulting everywhere else. I think that was it.
Yeah, so, you know, we could say what we want about the Pope. I just feel like, you know, maybe he's putting in some calls, but the reality is this has been kind of a trend that's been happening for a few years now, where Chicago sports had been so bad that there was no place to go but up, right? We needed, so, you know, minor improvements feel like, oh my God, here we go. But the reality is the White Sox, you know, winning 41 games year before last and winning 60 this year. I mean, going from the 19 game improvement feels like, holy crap, you know, it's still not awesome. It's still only 60 games.
Yeah, it's still like really extremely bad. But it feels great. It feels great.
It does, you know, but we're on the rise. So let's not act like, you know, the Pope has had some crazy miracle. We'll see how this first pick in the draft goes. We'll see how the couple of Rule 5 pickups go. And we'll see how the rest of the offseason goes. So let's get back into those staff hires. And so we talked a little bit about Bobby Hearn. Do you know anything about Jose Legere? I actually did not get a chance to take a look at him, but he will be joining Jersh on the opposite side of the field in the coach's box at first base.
Yeah, he's replacing Bergoy. That's about all I know about him. He was one of the three I did not get around to. Okay. Just because his signing was announced a couple weeks ago, and I don't know if we talked about it then or what happened, but
we may have mentioned the name, but you know, it's a it's an outfield. He's an outfield defensive specialist, and he'll be in the coach's box at first base. So I don't really know much about him, but I would assume that with everything they've done as of late, it's got to be an improvement over what we've had in the past. Because that's really all they're trying to do is, you know, obviously, again, I hate to sound like a broken record, but the way that they want to improve this ball club right now is not going to be in your everyday lineup. It's going to be with staff hires. It's going to be with, you know, more analytics and more, you know, biomechanics and strength and conditioning, hopefully, so that we can keep guys healthy and keep them on the field, because obviously that's been an issue for the White Sox after Herb Schneider left. So I just imagine that he's going to be an addition. That first off, the real thing is, you know, a lot of these guys that were on the staff last year were not Venable hires, right? That's the main takeaway I have from this. He's getting his guys that he wants. I'm sure he's finally had an opportunity to have his input on who he would like to be part of his coaching staff and where he wants these people to be and what roles they want to be in.
Yeah, it was shocking last year when he didn't get a whole lot of his staff. I mean, he brought back a majority of them, including Thames and Katz. Katz obviously had survived like six managers at the time. it was insane. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. I mean, I'm glad that you know, rightfully so, he's getting his own staff, and we'll see what it looks like for him.
Yeah, and that's I mean, really, to me, that's the big takeaway, is that, you know, he's having his input finally, and if we saw that 19 game improvement last year, maybe that little bit of comfort and that ability, you know, to have somebody that you feel is on the same page and wavelength with you, might bring, you know, even if it's just a handful, two, three or more wins into a clubhouse that maybe needs a little bit more stabilization after years of, you know, reported infighting and cliques and all these other things. You know, just get guys on the same page, it, you know, could do wonders. So,
yeah, my only worry is there's no fixing Benintendi's arm. So, unfortunately, you can bring in all the defensive specialists for outfield you want, but you cannot fix his arm. There's no fixing that.
Yeah, and that's going to be a topic that I think we're going to get into a little bit tonight. Obviously, we talk about getting into what our idea of the rest of the offseason plans typically should look like anyway. We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball of where they're going, but what we think it should look like, outfield's definitely going to be a part of that conversation. So, Kristen Orfia was hired as the MLB field coordinator. I don't even know what that means.
It feels like the Sizemore offensive coordinator position. I mean, I would assume it means he's a former outfielder. He's a former major league. He's got local ties. I know he went to Wheaton College, University, one of the two. He played for the Cubs for a little bit. And then he's coming from the Rockies organization, which I don't know if you necessarily want to hire from the Rockies organization. I know Brendan Doyle's pretty solid though, so at least fielding wise. So, I don't know what his job's going to be, but interested to see.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they put a name on a lot of things. The one thing I will say is that what the White Sox are known for is giving someone a title, but making them wear different hats. So I think I'm going to spend some time kind of looking into some of these guys in the future here and see, you know, where their strengths are, because we know that there are guys that have been put in coordinator roles, but their real strengths are like biomechanics you know, their strengths are in the new technology that the White Sox have brought on. They're familiar with, you know, some of these things. So I don't know that there's much in the title. It's probably more about who they are, where they came from, and what their contributions are going to be. So you could say field coordinator, but to be honest with you, it could be anything from like weight room specialist to advanced analytics specialist, you know what I mean? So,
well, that's like Tony Mandino was on the graphic as well they put out, and he's like an analytic, like his title is Major League Assistant. He's like, he might be the head of like analytics for the White Sox. Maybe not the head, but like he's certainly a big piece of what they're doing analytically there.
Yeah, so I actually glad you bring that up, because I do want to get into that, because my thoughts on this were, he's the guy that is going to sit down with Venable on a daily basis, you know, and Venable is going to tell him what he wants from him when we're talking about getting to, you know, a three-game set against, let's say, the Guardians, you know, and we're looking at the potential starters for that three-game set, and Medina has been looking at it for 3 or 4 days, a week already in advance, and he's kind of putting together who the probables are and, you know, what the starting lineup could look like and, you know, what, Venable needs to focus on with his team for any given game. So this is a guy probably putting together binders and computer reports and spreadsheets about, you know, every single in and out of, you know, what the possibilities are and, turn it into a quick checklist that Venable can kind of go down and his coaching staff in the dugout can kind of look at and say, okay, this is the move we need to make and when we need to make it. So, obviously, again, that's a huge part of the game that you don't hear a lot about anymore. But preparation isn't just going out on the field and, you know, hitting fungos and taking batting practice and fielding practice and all those things. So when we talk about preparation, there's a lot of that behind the scenes stuff that you're gonna, you know, not hear as much about. So DeNorvia, we talked about, you know, I'm going backwards now. I think that covers, actually. Did we miss anybody on the new staff?
I don't think so. I think everybody's back other than that. Yeah, I mean, obviously Bove and Showman are the two highlights, but we talked about them earlier.
Right. We spent time on those guys. Really no reason to, you know, go over that road again. So I guess we'll just go ahead and move into our offseason plans and the holes that remain in 40-man spots that we think are going to be filled here in the next couple of months. So I'm going to go. I gave you a little bit of homework. I gave you a homework assignment. And I will say that I did some of mine, but with the new puppy around the house and some other errands I had to run, I went from being all set and ready to go yesterday and getting out of the gate quick and getting tweets out earlier than normal. And today was an absolute nightmare. So I'm going to go ahead and have you start, and then I will give you a couple of names that I think should be part of this organization before spring. So what do you got for us today, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what they want to do. I mean, unfortunately, that's the truth of it. I mean, they clearly need a corner outfielder. Unless they're moving one of the second base to the corner, they need a corner outfielder. Unfortunately, the best fit for them is Mike Tauchman. That's the one that makes the most sense. I still don't know why they let him go. I think then you look at first base. If you're not going to play Vargas or Sosa there, first base is your biggest need. You don't have a natural first baseman on the roster. So I think you need a first baseman, and then you need a bullpen help. And then they've talked about adding a starter. I don't know what that looks like in capacity of, I don't know if they're looking to add a number three or a number five. I thought Hauser made a bunch of sense, and then he went to the Giants for 2 years, $22 million. And that was a lot more than I would have given Adrian Hauser. But yeah, so there's going to be some pieces here. There's some players I like, some players that have been rumored that I think make a lot of sense, but it's really going to be, you know, infield-wise, who do they want to play at first? And then I think you look at, potentially a corner outfielder. They need somebody. Braden is hopefully on his way up, but he has yet to see Charlotte. So he's not going to make the team out of camp, obviously. So they need somebody else in that room. And then it also depends on what you do with Robert as well. So,
yeah, and that's a big thing. We might as well just go ahead and talk about it, because the Robert thing's not going to go away until A, he's either traded, or B, the season starts and he's still, in black and white. So I'll say this. I personally have seen a ton of social media posts about Luis Robert. And I would say a large majority of the fan base wants to see him gone at just about whatever cost. People are just tired of him not finishing out seasons and being, you know, laid up for big chunks of the year. And you know, obviously he had played better when he was healthy last year, right? And he looked like shades of himself. He never really got to that 2023 form, but he definitely looked improved over the last couple of years. So after stating the obvious there, a lot of folks are, you know, looking at it like, well, yeah, but he missed the last couple of months. And we thought there was a chance he was going to come back, and he didn't. And they shut him down for the season. And they're just tired of it. They're just done, right? But I will say that when you're complaining about them not moving him yet, and you're hearing all the rumors about they're taking calls from the Phillies, which now sound like they're out after signing Adolis Garcia. You hear about the Mets checking in. You hear about all these teams that they're talking about. There's four or five, six teams that seem to be in and out constantly. We're in on them, we're out of them, we're in on them, we're out of them. And Sox fans are just getting to the point where they're like, somebody, just say yes. Just take whatever they're giving you. And I'll ask you this. Who, even with Luis Robert Jr. missing chunks of the season, when he is playing, who in the organization right now can fill that role at an even down level of what Luis Robert is? At a less than 100% Luis Robert level, who can fill that role right now? So unless they're trading him for an MLB-ready outfielder, who are they trading him for? And I'm asking you this, Jake. Do you see anybody on this roster that can fill, let's say, a 75% of Luis Robert Jr.? Even if we're not getting 100% Luis Robert Jr., a guy who's not fully healthy, a guy who's not constantly fully running out, you know, hits and not taking plays off. Is there anybody in this system that can play half as much or half as close to his ability?
Yeah, that's the issue with the system is there's no center fielders. Like, Braden's really not a center fielder. I don't know if he's got the athleticism to do it. The thought was when they traded for Everson Pereira, I believe Francis Romero put this out, who is a guy that I have a lot of trust in. And he had said that this clears the path for Robert to be traded. And so if that truly is the case, I think that's a large mistake. Everson Pereira, former top 100 pick or top 100 prospect, he just hasn't proved anything. I think Luis Robert can be a top five center fielder in baseball if he stays healthy. He had flashes of it last year. Like, he had a solid month and a half where he was the best center fielder in baseball. I just don't know if the Sox are in a position with available to pass it up. And I don't know. The issue, too, is, like, I don't know if you trade him right now, are you going to trade him for the same exact thing you're going to trade for him at the deadline? You're still selling them on the premise of he's going to turn into this, even if he doesn't play well in the first half. So I don't know what the difference between, and I think teams are more desperate at the deadline. I think it makes a lot more sense to trade him at the deadline and pray he has a great first half. I think there's enough of a chance there that he's going to have a good first half and that you could trade him for more. I would keep him.
Yeah. And, you know, and folks will want to say things like, well, you know, he missed the better part of the second half last year, and that's when the Sox were playing their best baseball. But the difference between now and then is you had Mike Tauchman. Now, whether or not he's coming back is a question. You had a whole bevy of fourth outfielders that came and went last year. We don't have any of those guys anymore. Yeah, they're gone. They've been let go. So now what are we relying on guys who've been in double and triple A to kind of come up and fill those roles right now? And I just don't know that's fantastic if you want to give your younger guys some playing time and see what they can do. But at the same time, you risk the possibility of regressing from last year. After we talked about this 19-game improvement year over year from the year before till this past season. And the problem with having a young core is confidence is could be shaky. So when you see this and you come with this new staff who is trying to inject a new philosophy and a winning culture and trying to teach these kids like, hey, you know, if we stay in this and we do the things we know we're supposed to do, we can continue to rise. The problem is if you've got a bunch of guys who are just underperforming and are not ready for that to take on that role, you run the risk of regressing, and it's just not going to be a good look for the White Sox if that happens, regardless of where they are in this rebuild. We can throw they're only in the later stages of the first part of the rebuild, or early on in the second phase of the rebuild, whatever you want to call it, whatever it is, if you go backwards, it could be potentially set you back years.
Yeah.
And we go from now an organization, you know, I've talked about this, where it's been said that it's becoming more of an organization where guys might actually want to play instead of run like hell and take a $5 million less on an offer to not play with the White Sox. You know, when we're offering free agent money out there and they just don't want to be here. Now, all of a sudden, there's a chance we might be able to scoop some of those guys and they're not going to be upset about it because the development's there. The coaching staff's there. The regime has changed and the philosophy of the organization has changed. You go backwards, you run the risk of now you've got to fight for even the crappiest of free agents to come play here.
Yeah.
Because they don't feel like the opportunity is going to do them any good. It might set them back because now we're playing for a team that's only going to win 55 games. Right. So it's definitely something that I don't know. It's something that we need to keep an eye on. I'm just not sure. And I'll agree with you 100%. You get rid of Luis Robert Jr. Now, are you going to get more from now or more from at the deadline, regardless of how he plays?
Yeah.
You're not going to get much for him now. You're not going to get much for him then if he doesn't have a good first half.
100%. I think you're moving him to the Mets. I think you're getting Vientos back, which I think is a mistake. Potentially you're getting Beatty, but again, you're getting another infielder. There's nothing there that intrigues me. You're not getting any of their top prospects. Maybe you get a couple of young flyers. I don't know. But I would think that Getz is looking at a return for Robert as ready to go talent, and there just isn't enough young ready to go talent that fits the White Sox needs in New York. It doesn't exist. So I don't know what that looks like.
All right. So one last question for you on this Robert thing, because again, I don't want to spend too much time on it, but have you heard the trade proposals where it's like, hey, let's package Robert with another player. And the name that comes up a lot is Edgar Caro. What's your feelings on that?
I've heard a lot of interesting trade options to many of different teams this week. There was a really nice one to the Padres, but that was insane. I think that was a mistake. I think that came out as a mistake. There was a three-team trade. It was somewhere on Twitter. Somebody put it in an article with the Mets and the Padres. We got like four top 100 prospects out of it. It was really nice. That's never going to happen, though. But I think that'd be a mistake. I don't think Caro's going anywhere. I just don't see it. Corey Lee makes sense to be traded. I don't think Edgar's going anywhere.
Yeah, I don't either. At least not yet. I think one season of him and, Kyle Teal behind a dish together last year was awesome to see. But if the level of production continues beyond that and not just the level of production, but maybe, you know, a little bit more development. They're both young guys, both getting their first taste of MLB play last year. And I just think that there's a chance that they both take a step. If you were going to trade one or the other, I think, you know, now's not the time to do that. Chris Getz, I'm just going to quote him again. He says, catching is gold. They loaded up on it last year throughout the system from single A, you know, low A, high A, all the way up to triple A and the MLB club. And, you know, if teams are really looking for catchers, I think you're right. I think Corey Lee is the guy that potentially makes the most sense right now to go in a package. There might be one or two guys down in the minor leagues that they could do something with as well, but I think you can hold on to Carroll for now. It just doesn't make sense. I know a lot of folks are going to say, well, if he regresses, you've now passed up his high watermark and his highest value to another team.
But like, well, how far does he have to regress? He wasn't good last year. Like, the whole selling point with Robert right now is the defense.
No, I'm talking about Carroll.
Oh.
Right. I don't think and packaging.
He's like 22.
Right. He's 22. Right. Which is, again, another reason that I don't want to trade him just yet. Because we all think that, you know, everybody thinks that Kyle Teal's probably going to be the better of the two. But Edgar Carroll is a guy who, if you look at what he did last season, could be the number one on a lot of major league staffs.
Yeah.
And the pitching staff really likes throwing to him. That's pretty big when you talk about, you know, you've got guys on your pitching staff that want to throw to him every day, and now you're going to change it up, especially with a young core, and now, you know, moving into another season where we're going to see a lot more young guys. I don't know. It's just not a good idea.
Also, Teal and Carroll platoon extremely well. They platoon. It almost gives you the option to almost have like a permanent 800 OPS at your catcher slot, depending on who they're throwing, and then having the other one on the bench. I think the overall thought that you could get that out of your catching position. And the weird thing with Carroll too is his defense is bad, but his defense is bad because his framing sucks. But framing's going away in 2 years. So am I really worried about it? Not really, because he throws people out of the base paths.
Yeah, I mean, he, don't get me wrong. He's had a couple of times where I wish he'd squeeze the ball a little bit more. He's got a glove, ball in the glove. It just kind of squirts out. But those things are far and few between. They're egregious when they happen. They're extremely noticeable when it happens, which is why fans lose their mind when it happens, because you're like, oh my God, it was in his glove, and now it's all the way at the backstop. Fine, whatever. Be mad about those things. I don't really care. The idea that it's going to cost the White Sox game on top of game on top of game is just flawed. And you said, I want you to say it again. What kind of OPS plus are we getting out of two catchers, not one? A sustained
You're pushing 120 OPS plus out of both those guys.
And the OPS number, the straight up OPS, what was
800.
There you go. There's a lot of MLB teams that can't get 800 out of their starter.
Yeah.
Then you're talking about platooning two guys that can stay above, let's just say, I'll even go on a low end, let's just say above 750 out of the catching position. That's huge.
Yeah.
That's absolutely ginormous. Yeah. And if you do want to trade one of these guys, do it later. I just don't see it happening. Not yet. To have a backup that's in the neighborhood of being a starter on, let's just say, half the league, 15 other teams. I don't think there's another team out there that can say that. There's not another team in baseball that can say that.
Yeah, Edgar last year hit .852 against lefties. And Teal hit .835 against righties.
Yeah, I honestly don't think that there's a there's not an MLB team out there that can say their backup catcher hits between .850 and .900 OPS. The backup.
Yeah. Yeah. And
go ahead.
Sorry.
No.
Venable's clearly a guy who likes to platoon guys. I mean, you saw that with Austin Slater. He likes playing to those advantages. By the way, Austin Slater is a sneaky return.
Yeah. I won't even elaborate on it. That's actually, I don't know. It's pretty fantastic, if you ask me.
They need a lefty bat. Anyway.
They do.
I saw he was a free agent today. Somebody tweeted about it, and I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm here for it.
So am I. It'd be kind of funny if he had the first home run in the 25 and 26 season.
Wouldn't it?
That'd be a random piece of trivia for you.
There you go. If he gets signed, we'll have to put it on our bingo card.
There it is.
By the way, let's throw that out there. We planned on doing it last year. We never got around to it. If our chatters and our listeners have something they want to see on a bingo card, let us know. Hit us up. Hit us up in the chat. Hit us up in our DMs. Well, you know, maybe I'll even put together some prizes for fan bingo card squares that get chosen. I have some things in the works over here that I've got some small giveaways and stuff that we'll be doing once the season gets rolling coming up here next year, but I got some things. We'll keep you guys posted on that. But in the meantime, keep your thoughts going and send them to us if you got anything.
Yeah, I have some stuff I can give away too. I have too much stuff here, so.
Right on. So, I guess we'll just wrap that up there because I don't want to spend too much time on Luis Robert because I have a feeling it's gonna be the topic week in and week out. It's not going to go away until something happens, and it's unfortunate. But honestly, I don't see it happening. I would love it if you guys hit me up on that and give me your ideas of why you think it's good to trade him now versus later on in the season. Hit me up, let us know. But we'll move on. So that being said, we still have some corner spots in the outfield that we need to fill. Do you have thoughts outside of Mike Tauchman coming back?
Yeah. So Slater, JJ Bleday is interesting to me. He's still young. He was okay last year in Sacramento. Former top prospect. Another thing that they like, another guy that kind of fits that mold is Jared Kelnick. I don't know, but he's another guy who can play some sort of corner outfield, another top prospect. The corner outfield spot in free agency is really weak. I mean, you kind of get rid of, Kyle Tucker, and there's not a lot there. Like, I don't know if the Sox are going after, like, Rob Refschneider. I don't think
Let's
so.
Let's just sign Tucker.
Yeah, there it is. There you go. See, it's funny because – it's funny that Toss put that in the chat, by the way, because that was an idea I had. And I don't think it's I'm not saying it's exclusively my idea, but I thought that they should be in the running for either Duran or Abreu. They're not going to be because I don't think they're focusing on trades right now, which signals me they're not going to do it. But I've thought for a while now that some return of Shane Smith, Lenin Sosa and Corey Lee for either Jaron Duran or Willie Abreu makes way too much sense for both sides.
So, well, that's the thing. So if you're going to trade Caro, obviously the return has got to be good. Now, the only reason I brought him up was because that was the one thing that I see the most when we're talking about packaging Luis Robert Jr. just to get Luis, you know, his $20 million off the books and get him out of Chicago. If you're going to trade Caro and you package him with another player who's actually on the plus – and doesn't have the stigma that Luis Robert Jr. does, a.k.a. Shane Smith. Now I'm listening, right? If I'm the GM, I'm listening. And you're talking about a return of, you know, Willie Abreu and Marcelo Mayer. I'm gonna have to have that conversation.
It's a six-man player right there.
Does it absolutely 100% get done? I don't know. But I'm definitely having that conversation for sure. 100% having that conversation. Because now I can live with Corey Lee being the backup catcher if I've got Willie Abreu somewhere on the field. Right?
Right.
If you've got Kyle Teal playing and he's your everyday starter and Corey Lee is your backup because you traded Caro away for Willie Abreu, yeah, I'm good. I'll live with that.
Well, that's the reason they make sense is you have an extra catcher in Corey Lee that is a serviceable backup, and you do not have a corner outfielder coming. You need somebody in left. And so it makes sense long-term to trade for one of those two guys, although I think he's going, unfortunately, to Kansas City. If I had to make a guess, that's where either Abreu or Duran ends up.
Yeah, and we will be seeing a lot of them here on the South Side.
Unfortunately. Yeah,
unfortunately. Whether or not it's in the White Sox uniform.
They've had a very good offseason. Which sucks because we can't win in Kauffman anyway. So them getting even better does not help.
Yeah, and I believe Detroit is going to have, when it's all said and done, I believe Detroit is probably going to have some guys here on the move very shortly as well. I know there's been a lot of talk about them signing some of the remaining free agents that are out there. Not that any of them are massive, but definite improvements. So, you know, we'll see, man. We'll see how that goes. And every year for the last couple of years, I said, well, the Guardians are on their way down and everybody else is on their way up. But Guardians pitching seems to carry them no matter what they do. So,
did you see who got cut out of there earlier
today? I did.
Do you want to talk about
absolutely that? Yeah. Go ahead. You know what? Since we're on it, bring it up, because I did want to talk about that. And I do think that there's a I do think that the White Sox maybe should at least kick the tires on that. You're talking about Janeski?
Yeah, Big Christmas.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting. He's not good. He's not good. Well, he's frustrating.
Got some holes in his swing.
But also he's got like the second best power in the majors. And in terms of bat speed,
his barrel numbers are insane.
Yeah, he hits the ball very hard. The issue is he doesn't make contact, but you get him out of that situation, you get him in somewhere else, I think there's potential that you have something. He's certainly an interesting flyer. I think whenever you have that much power and that much bat speed and you need somewhere, and I think he's a corner outfielder, if I'm not correct. He might play left. He's got a heck of an arm, too. Yeah, it makes a little bit of sense. He's not an awful defender for how big he is. He's a decent defender.
You know, and you know, the biggest knock on him right now is his pitch selection and approach.
Yeah.
At the plate. He likes to swing at a lot of junk. A lot of junk. But the one thing that the White Sox were able to do, and we talk about, you know, looking like they can develop now, is they've been able to get guys to fix that approach at the plate. Gotten guys to, you know, shorten up on two strikes. They've gotten guys to be more selective on the pitches they're swinging at. Is Jacob related to Landon? No. Jacob is his last, he pronounces his last name Thome. So he's not relation to Landon or Jim Thome. Just
I would have them on the podcast already if I was.
Yeah. I supposedly, according to my GM, when I was working at the RV dealership this past spring and summer, I had a customer by the name of Jim Thome that was supposed to be coming in and ended up canceling. But I'm not sure if it was him or not, to be honest with you. But according to my GM at the shop, it was. And I think you and I had this conversation. Your dad doesn't own any, or your dad or your uncle or anybody doesn't.
I don't have any gyms in the family. I don't have any gyms in the family. So that knocks out one of the two Thome family or Thome families in the area.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny because I know you're originally from like the Chicago area, like what, Bolingbrook or somewhere out that way, right?
Yeah, Bolingbrook. That's where I was born.
And now you're in Taylorsville. And yeah. It's funny that, you know, Jim is the pride of Peoria, which isn't extremely far. So, yeah. Kind of funny how that all works.
It's crazy though, because my family was like from. It's funny too, because we know nothing about my grandfather's side of the family. Nothing. We know he has siblings. Don't know who they are, which is where that name would come from. Both in like Northern Illinois. I'm just saying.
Maybe I
don't think it's that far fetched,
dude. I'm gonna have to get a graphic. I'm gonna have to get a Jim Thome graphic and put your face and his face side by side. It doesn't necessarily, I don't feel like the genetics are that far off, brother. There might be a connection somewhere down the line, or I don't know.
I didn't get any of his baseball talent. None.
All right.
The rivalry that shaped football. The players who defined an era. For the first time ever in LA, the icons of FC Barcelona and Real Madrid take the pitch at BMO Stadium. Watch the Legend Series, FC Barcelona Legends versus Real Madrid Leyendas, live in L.A. on February 22nd at BMO Stadium. For tickets and exclusives, go to wearehouseofheroes.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
So I guess we're talking about free agents and, you know, positions of need. And Tost brought up Muniateka Murakami. Was going to be one of the names that I actually threw out there today. Do you have any thoughts on him before I say what I need to say?
Yeah, he got linked to the White Sox in an ESPN article. It was bizarre. The projected contract is 5 years, 80 mil. That is dirt cheap. I'd do that tomorrow. I don't know if the Sox have any interest, but I would do that tomorrow. He can play first base. Just don't play him at third. Whatever you do, don't play him at third.
I mean, you look at it, that's Andrew Benintendi contract, basically, right? Couple dollars off. And let's be honest, Benintendi's production has not been, you know, super awesome. If you got the same kind of numbers out of him that Benintendi gives you, which I don't think you will, I think the power potential is well beyond what Benintendi's been able to do. I don't see why you don't. It's not going to break the bank. It's not going to put you in a position where you're worried about, you know, future salary dollars going out there and leaving you holes that you need to fill later on, and you don't have the money to do it, right? You know, say what you want about him playing where he played and the level of pitching that he's facing and how that's going to translate here in the States. But let's be honest, if you're playing 81 of your games every year at right field, he's going to do some damage.
Yeah.
He's going to do some damage. You can say he struggles against velocity all you want. Again, that's not necessarily something that can't be fixed.
Also, that got totally overblown. Just Baseball put out a tweet. I think it's not true. I mean, maybe there's a little bit of struggle, but I think everybody, I mean, it's harder to hit 100 miles an hour than it is 95. That's just how this works. I think it's extremely overblown. I think the only worry with Murakami is Yoshida and what he has done in Boston, which is not anything. But I don't know. I think he's a great hire. I think you're in the need for a power. And you're in need for a first baseman. I think it makes way too much sense. Now, I don't know if they're going to give out that type of contract, but I think they should.
Yeah, again, it doesn't break the bank. And, you know, if you get the level of production, which I think is going to be better than Benintendi's production, and a guy who, you know, you can say whatever you want about his defense. And he, honestly, dude, playing here on the South Side gives me a little bit of excitement to see a guy who can mash balls again. You know, we hyped up Eloy Jimenez for years, and we watched him hit some tanks that were just absolutely amazing. Luis Robert Jr., same thing, although we really haven't seen a ton of that, you know, concourse power as of late. This guy gives you that.
Yeah,
this guy gives you that exciting monster bomb, and for the price of what his contract is projected at, I don't see why you don't at least jump in to the sweepstakes. All right, I'm going to go ahead and hit this. Oh, before we get into Emiliano, thank you, Emiliano, again for the super chat. It's much appreciated. We really love the support. Before I hit that comment, I am going to hit Wolf here real quick. He says he's more interested in Okamoto. He's a bit older, though. Do you have any thoughts on that? I have a couple of thoughts on Okamoto.
My issue is Okamoto plays third base. I don't know if they want another middle infielder. They have too many third basemen as it sits. Unless you're moving Vargas to first. But then you still have Curtis Meade. You still have Tanner Murray. You still have Brian Ramos. If he ever exists, like, they have way too many third basemen. I'd much rather them signing a massive power first baseman. That's just my opinion. I don't know right. How many other people agree with that, but that's.
And let's not forget, and you're talking about just in the near future. Let's not forget about if Okamoto comes here, he's probably going to need a minimum of a 3-year deal. Guys coming overseas, I would say, you know, you've got Carlson, you got Billy Carlson coming up, you know, here sometime in the next year, year and a half. You're going to have Caleb Bonimer, although chances are, if, you know, according to everybody else, they think he's probably the, you know, the most likely to be moved to an outfield position. But you've got that. You've got the first pick in the upcoming draft, which as of it stands right now, Rock Chulowski is the guy who, you know, we all think is going to be, unless that changes. So, you know, it's difficult to throw Okamoto at third base. Now, he has played some first base, although they say the defense is absolutely atrocious at first base when he has played there. So, but again, another guy who's a little bit older than Murakami and hits monster bombs. And the other difference, the obviously difference is one's a lefty and one's a righty. So, you know, the numbers are going to be a little bit lower for Okamoto as far as contract details go. He's not going to be sought after as much because Murakami obviously is left-handed power and Okamoto's a right-handed hitter with power. So, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting take. I just don't know if there's a place for him on the field if you're going to play bad defense at first base. Could you bring him over as a everyday DH? Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd much rather have a switch hitter or a lefty, but that's just me. I mean, if he's got good hit tool, he's the one I think should probably have a little bit more that struggles with velocity, you know, phrase thrown at him over Murakami. But yeah, that's just me. So any other thoughts on him?
No. I like the idea. It makes a lot of sense. I just don't know if they do it.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, if you get a guy that can, there's no reason for the White Sox to not find power right now.
Yeah.
We play in a field that begs for it. Absolutely begs for it. And it's been a bane of our existence that we haven't had anywhere near enough of it the last few seasons. So, all right, let's get to this super chat now. Emiliano Brito, again, thank you, dude. Much appreciated. He asks, does Luis Robert get traded before the season? If so, where to and for what? Phillies and Pirates are the top of my list. Would love Skeens.
The issue is the Phillies aren't going to do anything. I think the Phillies are done.
They pretty much said they are.
I like their prospect pool a whole heck of a lot more than I like New York's. Pirates make sense. Pirates are an underrated name. We didn't talk about them earlier, but the Reds as well. I think both of those teams make a little bit of sense. Both are looking for something cheap. If Jerry will take money off, I don't hate the Pirates or the Reds. I don't know if Skeens is coming back, but
and I think that was probably players. More of a. I don't think nobody could be serious about Robert for Skeens.
Right. No.
So,
no. Yeah, also asked about Everson Pereira, which I think would be Luis's replacement. So, yeah, I mean, I will say if Luis is going to get traded before the season, I would expect it to be closer to spring training. That would just be my thought about that. And then, yeah, Pirates make sense. Toss puts out Tamar Johnson. Did Tamar Johnson have a good year last year? I had so much hope for him coming out of the draft, and he is not good.
No, that's the thing. It's been a bit of a disappointment for Tamar Johnson. A little bit better last year than the year before, but still, he's another one of those guys. I mean, the thing about him is it does kind of suit what the White Sox have been doing as of late in finding guys with high ceiling who haven't reached their potential and kind of hoping to pull the most out of them that they can. And then, like he said, it comes with a comp pick. So, if you're going to package it with a comp pick. But, and again, Emiliano says another infielder.
Another issue.
So, you know, obviously we've been talking about this a lot since last year's draft and coming into this year's draft about how the White Sox and basically MLB has taken this philosophy of finding the best athletes, which more often than not is a shortstop. Excuse me. But the reality is there are some guys who are outfielders that have never played shortstop that are going to be better than any shortstop, even if they're not the same athletically. So the idea of giving up on outfielders altogether, which seems to be a big thing here lately, like I see it all the time, again, on the socials where guys are like, oh, don't take an outfielder. We don't need an outfielder. Dude, if you've got an outfielder out there that has the skill set, plays good defense, has a good hit tool, can run a little bit, by all means, take an outfielder. Like this idea that we need to continue to take guys because, you know, we think they can be the best athlete on the field and we think we can move them around. It's great because, you know, finding a position to get a bat in a lineup is an awesome philosophy. But that doesn't mean you should just pass up on outfielders because that's what they've been playing. I mean, you know, at that point, you got to think about all the guys that are playing in college and in high school right now. Like, why would they want to play anywhere other than shortstop?
Right.
If their only shot of making it is playing shortstop, right? Like, having the skill set is awesome. So, yeah, but I'm with you. Another infielder kind of, you know, feels weird.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Johan De Los Santos. That's the name I wanted. That's what I want from the Pirates. I would almost trade Robert straight up for a comp pick. I don't know what that would look like. I don't know what the thought is there, but I would almost do it straight up for a comp pick. I don't know if Danny's on the same board, but.
Yeah, sorry. I was choking to death over here.
Yeah, I was worried there. You weren't going to come back. It was just going to be me for the show.
No, I'm good. It's
good. That's the most important thing.
I've had a tickle the last couple days. I think I'm coming down with a minor cold here. Hopefully it's not that flu that's like, you know, running through. People are like, oh, my lungs are gone.
Yeah, somebody at my work has that. And I was like, if I could get... She's like, yeah, I couldn't talk for 2 weeks. And I was like, great. That's like only my job. So
yeah, that's your entire job.
Yeah, right? Like that would suck, wouldn't it?
You know what? David makes a good point here. We got a lot of people in the room tonight. Y'all need to smash that like button for us. I mean,
or you lightly know, tap it.
Yeah, whatever. You don't have to break your keyboard. But Emiliano, we appreciate you and your monetary support. But if you guys don't want to chip in on the super chats, help us out with the algorithms and just hit that like button. Subscribe. It's going to help us out in the world wide web. So, and we appreciate it. We appreciate every like and subscription we can get. So thanks for pointing that out, David. We much appreciate that as well. I don't know. What do you think? I'm sorry, man. That choking fit kind of threw me off for a minute. Anybody else you want to talk about in the outfield right now?
No one in
the first base?
Ryan O'Hearn's the name. I know Ian brought him up earlier. That's the name I'm watching.
I didn't want to move on until we got past that because I know you want to talk about him a little bit. So go ahead. Give us your thoughts on him.
Well, he was successful under Fuller. He has experience with Fuller. They also just brought in another piece from the Orioles hitting system. Former All-Star first baseman. I don't think it costs a bunch. He can also play right field. I think it makes sense. And there's been rumors that they're interested. And whenever there's smoke, there's fire. So that's my thought on him.
Honestly, I wasn't big on it early in the offseason, but the more I look at it, the more it makes sense to me. And, you know, as much as I hate to say it, you know, either Vargas or Sosa is going to, you know, if you can get a former All-Star first baseman on a halfway decent deal in Ryan O'Hearn, because I don't think he's going to command giant numbers, right? You almost kind of have to take that. It's one less position that you've actually got to teach how to play the position.
Yeah.
And, you know, say what you want about the staff and developmental system that the White Sox have, you know, brought on in the last couple of years. A guy that knows how to play the position is always going to be something of value. And, you know, we can take that line, that scene right out of Moneyball, where they are, you know, talking to Hattaberg and Wash. Ron Washington, you know, was sitting there and he's like, ah, first base is easy. Tell him, Wash, it's extremely difficult.
Yeah.
And as a former first baseman myself, there's a lot going on there that people don't realize. So, and I'm not going to get into the ins and outs of it, you know, footwork and you know, wheel plays and all this other stuff. Like, but yeah, there's a lot going on. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
So, but if that were to happen, that would leave Vargas and Sosa without a position. Unless we put Sosa back at second base and we use Chase as a utility infielder.
Oh, Vargas will play third.
For now.
Unless you're, I mean, they're going to have decisions to make. They have way too many decisions to make. I would move. I don't know what I'd do. I mean, the thought is you play Vargas at first. If you were not to sign an infielder, I would put Vargas at first, Sosa at second, Chase at short, and Colson at third. I hate moving Colson out of short, but that would be how I'd do that. I almost choke on air. And then I don't know what you do with Sam, because Sam's going to be ready here pretty soon. He's another infielder. So
there's the other
and
thing.
Then there's Sam Antonacci. More coming. Yeah.
And like you said, three more coming in the next year to year and a half or so.
I almost wonder if they trade Billy. Billy's going to get an opportunity to debut as a Sox, but I almost wonder if he's on the move. That's a way out of left field take, but I almost wonder if he's on the block.
I mean, dude, you could have saved that to wrap up the show as your hot take.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow. Trading Billy Carlson before he ever sees the... I mean,
it's nothing that he did. Like, it's not like I think he's a bad... I like the pick. It's just with his the circumstances, value, it just...
He's got value before ever stepping on a major league ball club.
Yeah.
You know,
problem is we'll trade him and we'll turn into Connor Griffin. They have totally different prospect profiles, but that'd be my luck.
All right. Yeah. Man, why you got to do that to me? I just got knots in my stomach, dude.
See, okay, and Toss brings this up. Billy or Bonham removed to the outfield, and then Colson to third and Rocket short. The issue of moving Billy to the outfield, it makes no sense. He's drafted as a defensive first shortstop. He has to play shortstop to get the value out of it.
Yeah,
in my opinion, you have to play him at short. So then I think what makes the most sense is Bonnemer in left, Colson at third, and Rock at second. But also, Rock's a really good defender. It's a weird issue to have of having too much talent. It's a bizarre issue. It's almost like the Pirates in pitching. Just doesn't make sense.
Did you just say too much talent
in one position? Sentence? Yeah. They have four.
In terms of the White Sox,
they have four top 100 shortstops. I know Colson's not a prospect anymore, but
we're talking about the White Sox and too much talent.
I know. Crazy. And Antonacci might be another one. I know he think he's a shortstop. I don't know. Yeah, and then somebody brought this up on Twitter. I don't know. It might have been I don't want to misquote somebody, but somebody was like, no, that doesn't stop him from drafting Rock. Somebody was like, damn, I really like Chase Mydroth, but now he's like out of everybody's future plans. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of unfortunate. I really liked him too, and I still think he could be a really good Major League Baseball player. I just don't know where he plays on the team.
I think he's your utility man. Yeah. And the only reason I say that is because Sosa was your best offensive player last year. Regardless, you can talk about not walking and his OPS and his batting average and his on base percentage only being, you know, slightly different. Which I don't know if you were paying attention to the end of the season, that started to change a little bit.
Yeah,
he did was walk walking more.
Not a ton, but
no. But if that's zero. A trend that continues, and you trade him away. And now he's playing maybe against you, and he's hitting 25 home runs a season, and he's got he's walking, you know, at a 3 or 4% more clip. That's that's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
To see, right? I think Chase is he's the igniter. He's a spark plug type of guy, right? He's a guy you want at the top of your lineup because his hit tool is good. He can get on base. You know, I wouldn't say your prototypical leadoff guy, but he's maybe a good two.
Yeah, I don't know if he sees enough pitches to be a leadoff guy.
But, you know, he gets on base. He's a slap hitter that does things that you'd like to see, right? That the Sox have kind of been missing for a while. But honestly, again, we play in a field that screams for power. And you can say what you want about Lenin Sosa's defensive numbers. That is way overblown. Way overblown.
He made some stupid mistakes.
He did. And, but you know, you can compare him to any other second baseman and shortstop last year and say, well, there's a whole bevy of guys that were better than him. But did he cost the White Sox that many games?
No.
I can think of one where it was, like, egregious, where, you know, it was, like, the eighth inning and he made some
really – the play at first was bad. But that wasn't even at second. Listen, I've compared him to Marcus Semien. I think very highly of Lenin Sosa.
So, yeah, I don't know. It's difficult to say. And again, it's a good problem to have when you're actually talking about having guys fighting for positions, where especially we're talking about second base has been a black hole for so long for the White Sox.
Yeah.
You know, for years and years and years, it was second base and right field, second base and right field. We're still having issues with right field. But now we've got a bevy of guys who can play second base and be at minimum serviceable there.
And I want to say this, like the good news, and this is being brought up in the chat quite a bit. The great news about shortstops is they can play anywhere. Like, you can move these guys anywhere. Like, look at the Padres. At one time, the Padres had a shortstop at every single position on the diamond. Like, look at Tatis. Look at Baez. These guys moved to the outfield extremely well. It's just, I don't know if they give you the same defensive value in the outfield as they do there. So that's just the issue with that.
Yeah, unless you're like George Springer, who, you know, goes from the outfield to shortstop and
yeah,
you know, absolutely crushes it no matter where he goes in the field.
Also, David says, hate all you want, gets his change of call. I'm a day one Chris. I think the first show of this podcast, which was last year in like February, I was like, I'm a big Chris Getz guy. That's my
guy. It took me a minute to warm up, but I am actually pretty thrilled about how things are going so far in his tenure as a GM. I was a little hard on the hire, thinking that this is a guy who, you know, was part of the development plan during a time when we watched so many guys fall on their face when we had high hopes for him. But, you know, from an organizational management standpoint, he's doing a lot of really good things.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Chris Getz.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of his free agency hires or free agent signings, but I think everybody wanted an outside hire. That was the issue. And then they just didn't go through a hiring process and everybody was pissed, but it ends up that Getz was pretty smart.
Yeah, no, agreed. Agreed. It's so far things are working out
right
pretty yeah. well. You know, obviously there's a couple of guys that we're hoping to see steps from in some of the moves that have been made, but you know, all in all, not a whole lot of concern in that department either. Man, the chat is really going. It's hard to keep up with all you guys and stay on track for what we wanted to do tonight. But we're actually almost an hour and 15 minutes into the show here, and I did want to talk a little bit about some holes of pitching. And did you have anybody that you want to target for either the bullpen or the starting staff? As far
I don't know,
as
but
the
if they rest
of the offseason plan goes,
they want to sign someone. They better act quick. Every reliever's moved off the market. Keller's been signed.
Well, I know you've been big on Fairbanks. So
Fairbanks is the guy I want to bring up. Yeah, Fairbanks. I will say this. I think everybody with Fairbanks is talking about the rain odds. I will say he's pitched in cold temperatures before. I did a little bit of digging. He's pitched in like San Fran when it was like 50. He's pitched in some colder climates before. He makes a lot of sense too. I know you're pointing. Fairbanks would be my ideal just because they need a closer and they need somebody in the late innings to not blow games. I'm tired of watching guys just implode. I like Jordan Leisure. I like Grant Taylor. I like Prelander Baroa when he's going to be back. That's great. None of them have experience closing out games. Fairbanks does.
Yeah, I agree. And I think if you can get him for, I mean, if it's just a year or two on a, you know,
two kind for of 24 is what makes sense to me.
Yeah. And that's kind of a sweetheart deal. It's not breaking the bank. It's not nothing. And, you know, obviously the rhetoric is that Grant Taylor is still kind of the guy that a lot of people are thinking is going to be the guy in the future. But this gives him the opportunity to continue to develop and not be thrown into a high-pressure, high-leverage situation day in and day out when you're still kind of figuring out your footing as an MLB ball player, right? It's one of the most difficult positions to come out of the bullpen, and you have to be ready on a game-by-game basis at any given moment. You know what I mean? It takes a different type of player. You know, all pitchers I think have the mentality like I'm gonna go out and do my job and I'm gonna, you know, strike out the side, right? They all want to have that in their head. You shouldn't be pitching if you don't think you're gonna be able to stand up to the competition. But to be a closer or even a setup guy in a, you know, one or two run game in the late innings, especially when you're looking at facing the middle of an order coming up, you just have to have that different mindset, that laser focus and that killer instinct. And that doesn't always happen right at the beginning of somebody's career. And I think signing a guy like Fairbanks gives Grant Taylor time to, you know, first off, focus on getting that killer instinct, and second off, just getting used to playing at the major league level. We saw it last year where they threw him into those situations, and we saw things from Grant Taylor that we weren't seeing in his professional career before that. And I think it's just a case of, you know, finding your footing. So yeah, Kopech, there you go. Thanks, Jamie.
I think if you were to list, if Michael Kopech was to list the teams that he would want to be on for next year, I think the White Sox would be outside of the top 100. I'm so serious when I say that.
I do want to bring up what, and you saw me point. I do want to bring up what, Toss brought up was Tommy Canley. You think Tommy Canley makes some sense? There's some familiarity.
These relievers are going for so cheap. Yeah, he makes a ton of sense. He's a good reliever. I wouldn't mind that signing at all. He makes a ton of sense. And as Emilio mentioned, you could trade him at the deadline too. You could, you know, sign him to a 1-year deal. If he pitches well, you could trade him. Also, D2 legend, which if you don't know, I'm a D2 broadcaster, so love my D2 guys.
Absolutely. All right. What about left-handed side? So we already heard from somebody about Danny Colombi. What about like Sean Newcomb? Do you think he's in the realm of, you know, what the White Sox will spend? And now here's the thing. Before we even get into this, and I know, again, it's getting late. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this.
All time.
There has been, you know, in years past when we looked at Rick Hahn saying the money was going to be spent, and then the money was spent, and it was spent. We had like $45, $48, $49 million spent on our bullpen, and people went, well, that's not exactly what I had in mind on the money being spent, right? But I feel like at this point, you've got a bunch of guys that are on young, small contracts. You can spend, you know, $25, $30 million on your bullpen right now to round out some of the holes that are there, and especially in the back end. So do you think Sean Newcomb fits anywhere? Because he's probably, as far as left-handed relievers go, he's probably the top of the list. He's probably going to garner more money than any of the other lefties out there.
Yeah, I don't hate that. Taylor Rogers makes sense. I've always loved the arm slot.
I like Andrew Chafin. There are
a ton of lefty relievers that are going for a ton of money or a ton of players. There have been some interesting trades. I think you look at the Isaac Collins trade, and I know they're going to make Angel Zerpa into a starter, or that's been the rumor. But lefty relievers are going for a pretty penny right now. And so, yeah, I don't know what that market looks like. Chafin makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I think they need to add a left-handed arm. I don't know. I lost my training thought. I saw Toss coming. I lost my training thought.
A new assistant GM.
Yeah, what? And it's from Fox. That's obviously a reputable source.
I am jumping on X right now. Hey, is this recent, Toss? Because I did not see this earlier today. So if you're listening in podcast form, one of our chatters is saying that our very own James Fox here at Future Sox is reporting that the White Sox have hired a new assistant GM, and he's just not sure if that means if
Carlos Rodriguez.
Barfield is gone.
I would assume Barfield's gone. I don't know where Barfield went.
That's interesting. That's extremely interesting.
Oh, wait, hold on. I love when random news.
Okay, so he also says that James said Barfield is staying. So maybe Barfield's getting... Is he getting promoted?
He's already been promoted.
Ah. So I missed that.
Okay, so here's the... Is this Fegan's article? I want to... Yeah, James Fegan says, the White Sox are in final stages of hiring former Tampa Bay Rays assistant general manager Carlos Rodriguez to a role in the front office, which has now been confirmed, I think, as assistant general manager. When this hire is completed, Rodriguez is expected to also hold the title of assistant general manager with the White Sox, a front office designation also held by Josh Barfield and Jin Wong. So they've already had two assistants. I don't know if they're going to have. So who is Jin Wong gone?
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know. That's interesting. Again, another staff hire.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. I was not expecting another assistant general manager.
Out of the Rays system. A system known for finding diamonds in the rough.
That's the system you want to hire out of.
And then trading it away.
Yeah. Right. Oh, international scouting guy.
I see. Ian, thanks you for coming through in the clutch. He's an international scouting guy. Perfect.
What happened to the Mets guy? Is he still... Now I need clarification on that. Are they working together? Is Carlos above the Mets guy? Is he below the Mets guy? Shows you how much I know about the inner workings of this organization.
Well, there's been a lot of movement, so it's kind of hard to keep up here as of late. But yeah, man, again, I don't, if it's an international scouting guy, he says that's what I'm here for. And we appreciate you. But again, I'm actually pretty big on the international scouting guys if they're good at their job, because this is somewhere where this organization needs to excel. If we're not going to spend the money on the big free agent names, we can find those guys on the international side. It's been a move like when it comes to the international draft where, you know, the White Sox are now spending their draft pool on, you know, 25 guys instead of 8. And hoping that, you know, maybe somebody develops through there, which is, you know, in my opinion, probably a better strategy than they've had in the past. If you've got a guy who can recognize that talent and find somebody on a much cheaper of a dime, I'm all for it, man.
The Rays have had success bringing over, they brought over Wander, right? Like, that wasn't a trade. I mean, obviously, Wander, bad things, bad guy. But, I mean, that was an international free agency signing. No, is David Keller. That's the name I was thinking of. I don't know if Rodriguez is going to be over Keller or not. That was my question. I don't know. So he was the long-term assistant general manager with the Tampa Bay Rays. He was released in October of 2025. So a couple of weeks ago or months ago.
Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and hit this comment. Emiliano brings it up while you're digging. Emiliano says we gotta stop signing the 45 to 50 international prospects and start signing the number one guys like Luis Robert again. Also, didn't the Sox sign a 13-year-old? So that's a projected signing because obviously nobody can be signed before the age of 16. That might be a handshake deal that
those they're flip waiting flop all the time,
and they do change, you know, year over year. It's suggest. I mean, we saw video of the kid a couple months ago hitting tanks at 13 years old. And then, you know, there's always the question of the, you know, the validity of a birth certificate when you see a kid that looks like he's 18, 20, and he's only 13 years old, because the build on this guy is unbelievable. But, you know, the idea of signing the number one guys like Luis Robert Jr., I don't think that that's gone away. That's more of a, if that opportunity presents itself like a Luis Robert Jr., then you go ahead and you do it. But the idea that, you know, now here's the thing. The Sox were leaving money on the table. They weren't spending all of their international money before. And now they've gotten to the point where they're spending most, if not all of it, which is why we're getting more guys come through the system. Now, obviously, there's been the change where we no longer have the lower levels of affiliates in the last couple of seasons, because MLB decided they're just going to get rid of some of those, you know, the lower, you know, the bottom tier of the affiliates. So there's less places to stash these guys. But at the same time, if you've got guys that are playing in like Dominican leagues and you know, wherever else, it's possible to be able to find some talent in numbers. So I don't know that that's going to go away anytime soon as far as signing, like, you know, like I said, anywhere between 30 and 50 guys. Let's just say it's not that big, but, you know, instead of sending, golly, I can't talk all of a sudden. Instead of signing only, you know, 8 to 10 international guys or 5 to 6 some years, they've gone out and gone into the 20s. And, you know, I hate to bring it up, but the Guardians were one of those teams that were known for doing that and pulling some talent out that people were like, where did this guy come from? And he was a, you know, a small dollar signing in the international market. So, I mean, you know, they're not going to, I don't think they're going to pass up on guys like Luis Robert Jr. Obviously, that was the last of the big dollar signings, because you weren't able to go over your pool money anymore. So, yeah, Toss says Jacob's doing research. He is, and I'm just over here jabbering away. So,
but yeah, that's a really good hire. This is an insane hire. He was the vice president with the Rays. I mean, he was a big piece of that organization for the last 15 years. I mean, I'm very shocked that he is an assistant GM. That's what he was in Tampa. I guess he doesn't want to be a GM. I would assume that he has the power to do that. But, yeah, that's a pretty big signing. I don't know how that's going to work in the international world. I know David Keller was a big part of that. I will say the White Sox have just built that giant facility, and I want to say the Dominican.
They just broke ground in it recently. I'm not sure if it's done yet.
Yeah, but they're building it. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be more focus in that area. I'll say, I know you were talking about it. You know, I think there's a lot of overblown in this in terms of bringing in the top guy in the international market. Like Acuna was like 42. Thank you, Ian. Like there's guys down the board that have signed for less. I mean, and have been good players. So yeah, I don't mind. I understand the thought process of going out and getting the best player, but you have to be able to develop it. And getting a new facility open down there will certainly help with that. They have struggled internationally forever now. That is not an understatement. That is there has been very few international free agents to come over and be actually impactful ball players for the White Sox. So it is clearly a major overhaul going on, and this is a huge step to helping that.
Yeah, agreed. And Ian actually said it in the chat as well, too. More smart guys around, which is a philosophy that I had an old GM tell me that, you know, in his success was based on surrounding himself with people smarter than himself. He was more of a people manager. I think Getz is probably doing a lot of the same, where he's more of a people manager, putting the right people in place and making sure that, once those people are in place, they're the best people. to do the job. And then he just kind of pulls the strings. He's the puppeteer at the top, but you've got to get the guys, the right people in the right places to make those decisions for him. So I think it's a great move.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really nice addition to White Sox front office. It's nice that Barfield's staying. I don't know. Are they going to have three assistant GMs or are they moving one of those two guys out? I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, and you know,
I'll be interested to see how the deal breaks.
Even if they do, it's, you know, if Barfield's staying within the organization and he's getting moved to, you know, a better position, a higher position, he's getting a promotion, whatever, that doesn't mean that his intuition and his skills at finding the right guys and doing the right things and that doesn't go away.
Yeah.
Now he can mentor the new guys that are coming in, although it sounds like this hire is not someone who needs a whole lot of mentoring. They're bringing him in because of he's got a specific skill set that seems to be exactly what the White Sox have been missing. So, yeah, I don't know, man. We're an hour and a half here, dude. I think we should probably wrap this thing up. And, dude, honestly, the only reason we're at an hour and a half is because the chat has been rolling, dude. We cannot say enough about you guys. It has been a little bit of a slow news cycle, but you know, big things are still happening regardless. And I think we're going to see more of that plan come along as the offseason develops and moves on. We're not done. Obviously, the White Sox have some 40-man spots to fill. I don't think they're going to fill them all within the organization. And if they do, they still got to, you know, there's still got to be guys that got to fill the holes that they're pulling these guys from, too. So there's going to be some moves made, whether it's, you know, we continue that trend of signing more minor league contracts than anybody else and being more active in the minor league market, whatever. It is what it is, but they're obviously not done. So we're going to be here every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. to, inject whatever philosophies and opinions we can, whether or not we're right about any of that stuff. We'll leave it up to you guys and, you know, the future will tell, but we appreciate all you guys for coming and checking us out. Before we sign off, Jake, do you have any hot takes or heaters that you want to throw out there this week?
Oh, White Sox make a signing to the major league roster this week. I feel it. I don't know if it'll be a major one. It might just be a reliever, but there'll be a sign that we get to talk about next week.
Ah, I'm here for it, man. I was going to say the same thing. I think it's probably going to be a bullpen arm, but I do believe that we are going to see some movement very shortly. Man, thanks for the compliment, David.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Thanks for reminding our viewers and our listeners to go ahead and hit that like button. We appreciate that as well. Huge shout out to Emiliano, our super chatter yet again. We always appreciate the monetary support. And again, if we can't do that, we understand. It's Christmas. Presents got to get under the trees. Bills still got to get paid. But if you want to help us out and just smash that like button, subscribe. Give us a follow at Future Sox on Twitter/X. But, yeah, man, you guys are awesome, dude. So I'm just going to go ahead and sign us off from there, wrap it up, unless you have anything you want to add tonight.
Nope, that's all I got.
All right, man. It's been awesome, guys. It's been a great show. We really appreciate you. Like I said, you can find us here every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, God willing. If you guys are into our written content, you can find all of that and all of our links to podcasts and whatnot on the website at futuresox.net. You can check out our other guys, our other shows. We've got James and Ian with the Future Sox podcast, as well as the Future Sox Roundup with, Dylan, Elijah, and Jeff. Yeah, man. We're doing some things. Check out our written content. Our boy Adrian White has been putting out article after article. He's a young kid. He's well-motivated, and he's a heck of a writer. You guys check that stuff out, too. Until next week, I'm Danny Miller. You can find me at Danny Miller FS for my co-host, Mr. Jacob Thome, at jthome21. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going to throw this out there. Ian says no show on Christmas Eve. I'm going to guess probably not. I know I have some plans Maybe we'll reschedule. So
yeah, I'm open.
Yeah, we might. Maybe we'll do something before or after the holiday. But we'll figure it out. We'll keep you guys posted. But in the meantime, it's been a pleasure. We'll see you guys soon, whether it's next Wednesday or before or after. Yeah, and until then,
who knows?
Go White Sox, man, as always. Hey, Jacob, it's been a pleasure, brother. Have a great night, man.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Later, guys.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.